All right, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, would you read with me from verse 1? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1. This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you, as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you it is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live of him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? But I trust that you shall know we are not reprobates. Now, I want to talk to you about a self-examination. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? In other words, if Jesus Christ is not in you, you're a reprobate. Examine yourself and see if Christ is in you. See whether you be a reprobate. And the word reprobate is the same word that we would use for junk. Like you go by and you see a junkyard of old cars, old rusting cars piled on top of one another, and you say that's a junkyard. You could say that's a yard filled of reprobate cars. Reprobate is to be discarded. It is of no value to anybody or anything. Reprobate mind. Back in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, I believe it is, Paul said that since they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Men today who don't think on God and don't want God in their knowledge have reprobate minds. That is, as far as God's concerned, their minds are of no value to anybody or anything. And he said the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Now examine yourselves whether you be reprobate. Fascinating about this letter here, he said, now I'm going to come to you, and notice how he spoke to them previous to this. Go back to chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll start in verse, he tells them in verse 2, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. That's thoughts that come into your mind that have no business being there. He casts them away. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, the child of God must keep their mind under obedience. Your mind will wander. Therefore, you must keep your mind under obedience. And by the way, here is a passage that is very clear to anybody that knows the truth concerning any kind of drug you might put in your body. And I don't care whether it's alcoholic beverages or if it's smoking pot or if it's popping pills. I don't care what it is. Anything that would cause you to lose control over your mind is a sin. You've got no business doing it. Hence, you'll find that in the book of Numbers that God Almighty said that the priest and those in leadership and whatever were not to drink anything of the grape. They're not even to eat the seeds of grapes or anything that comes from the vine and on. No wine, no this, not. In other words, they are to have a clear mind at all times that they might judge proper judgment and whatever. And so it is with you. You're to have your mind clear. You're to think on the things of God, and you're not to allow your mind to stroll off and wander off with imaginations and whatever. and get captivated by the devil. Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices, and you're not to let the devil get control of your mind in any way, shape, form, or fashion. In fact of the business, if you get into a drunken state, I don't care what it is on, I don't care if it's on drugs or if it's on alcohol or what it is, any time that your mind gets into a state where you lose control, demons often have control of your mind, and when they get control of your mind, they get control of your body, and when they control your body, they do with your body things that you don't, you're not aware of until you're out of it. Hence, you'll find that, for instance, men on the highway today that drive trucks, they pop those pills, and the guy's cruising down the highway, and all of a sudden, in front of him, a bridge turns up on its side, or it turns crossways, or a train comes across the highway in front of him, or there's a truck up there that may be a mile in front of him, but to him, it is immediately in front of him, or it may be immediately in front of him, and his mind tells him it's a mile away over there, and bam, he runs right into it, or runs over somebody, or he's cruising along there, and he looks in his mirror, and his mind is so fouled up by those things that he's popping so that he can stay up and do the job and this and that and the other, and he looks in his mirror, and it's a car on his right side back there, but it doesn't appear that way to him, and he just pulls over and runs over that car, and on it goes. Have control of your mind. Paul said, casting down imaginations and everything that might get control of your mind, bringing it under subjection to Christ, and so forth. You can't fool around with anything that you put through your mouth that'll affect your mind and be faithful to God and whatever. I don't care if it's smoking cigarettes, or if it's drinking booze, or smoking pot, or popping pills, or whatever, it doesn't make any difference what it is. When it puts you out of your mind, you better leave it alone. I've got a friend that used to take Darvin. And the man, it seemed if anybody was worthy to take it, he was. The man's crippled, and he has terrible pain in his legs. He's paralyzed from his waist down, has terrible pain in his legs, and I don't blame him for taking the stuff. And yet, he's taken the stuff until he'd get to the point that he'd... he wouldn't understand what he was doing. He'd do things. He'd go berserk and do things that he had no business doing. You can't put things into your body that affects your mind and get by. It'll catch up with you somewhere down the line. All right. Now, in verse 7, do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, that's Paul's letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. I always did want to see Paul. I really did. I want to see that fellow preach. Evidently, he must have been a little guy, and he must have been ugly. He must not have been anything to look at. No, none of this heroic type of Hollywood television movie type thing for Paul. He must have been a ugly-looking little old guy, and puny, and not strong-looking, and weak, and whatever. But his words must have been something to behold. His letters, people couldn't stand the letters, but they sure couldn't stand his words either. Verse 11, let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we're absent, such will we be also indeed when we're present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. You know, the Lord showed me that passage many years ago when I was in the denominational system, and this is one of the passages here that convicted me and convinced me to get out of the system. the system that I was in, they commended themselves, they compared themselves with themselves, and on, and I said, well, the only thing to do is get out of there. Why, Paul said, I dare not make myself all that number that do those things. Come down to verse 17. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. In other words, that's who is approved. Now here's the point. He said, examine yourselves, lest you be reprobates. See whether Christ be in you according to the Scripture, lest you be a reprobate, that is useless, hopeless, and cast away. Now, I've got four things that I want to refer to. And these four things have to do with four classes of people. You see which class you're in of these four classes. You can't escape. You're in one of them. See which one of the four you're in. Examine yourself if Christ be in you. Examine yourself whether you be a reprobate. Examine yourself whether in the eyes of God you're just like a junk heap. No good for anything or anybody, and are ready for the casting into the lake of fire someday. Examine yourself. First, notice that there are those who are receivers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're believers, and being believers, they're receivers, and vice versa. Look in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, and I'm taking this passage out of its context now, John chapter 1, verse 11, reference to Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now I'm aware that the whole truth in the verse cannot be applied to the church, which is the body of Christ. God Almighty never gave you the power to become a son of God. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he adopted you into his family. Turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, we'll read from verse 3. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. We are now children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, this Bible tells me. Well, if we're children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, then we are adopted children of God. And adoption is better than birth. How can that be? Well, for instance, in the Old Testament, a man could sell off, he could sell into slavery his begotten children. But he could not sell an adopted child. For in adoption, he took one that was not a member of his family and took him into his family. And by adoption, that person became a part of that family and was heir in that family. And could never be denied, for the adoption papers had been drawn up and signed by the witnesses and everything. Therefore, the man that adopted the child could never deny that child that fact that he is a son. We're sons of God by adoption, children of God by adoption. But we received the Lord the same as those back there. As many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. Not so with us. As many of us as have received Christ Jesus as our Savior have been adopted into the family of God, and as children of God are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I heard a fellow in Mobile one time preaching on the radio, and he was condemning those who preach receive Christ. He said there's no such thing in the Bible as receiving Christ as far as Paul was concerned. Well, that's not true. Look in Colossians chapter 1. I'm sorry, Colossians. Colossians. No, I'll get right. Colossians 2. In Colossians 2, verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Well, then there are those that have received Christ. We that have received Christ are sons of God. We are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ by receiving him as our Savior. And God predestinated us. In other words, according to the foreknowledge of God, he foreknew that we would receive Christ as our Savior. Foreknowing that, he predestinated us unto adoption of children unto himself by Jesus Christ. It is by his death on Calvary. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. And he paved the way by his death for sin so that God could adopt us into his family. In other words, listen to me now. If you haven't received Christ as your Savior, there isn't any way that God could place you in his family. There isn't any way you could be an heir of God. Why? Because you're an enemy of God. You're alienated from the life of God without hope and without Christ and without God in this world if you've not received Jesus as your Savior. Why? Because you're still in your sins. And being in your sins, God looks upon you as an alien. God looks upon you as an enemy, and the wrath of God abides on you. Well, then how can you change that? You can change it by receiving Christ as your Savior. It is not enough just to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that he was buried and that he rose again. Believing that, you must receive him. Believing that, you must acknowledge you need a Savior, and acknowledging you need a Savior, receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Why, it's altogether a different thing for me to believe that somebody is a good attorney and believe they never lost a case. That's one thing, but for me to receive him or employ him as my attorney is another thing. To believe that a man is a good doctor is one thing, but to call him on my case is another. To believe that the medicine that he prescribes for me will cure my condition is one thing, but to receive it and take it is another thing. To believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins is one thing, but to receive him to save you is quite another thing. There are those today that say, I believe Jesus died for my sins, but instead of receiving him to save them, they are trying to save themselves by being good. The receivers. Are you a receiver? Have you received Christ as your Savior? Then you're a child of God. You're adopted into the family of God. And we saw last week in Atmore that the papers are drawn up and the testimony of those papers are that you're a child of God. All right. Number two. Then there are those that are procrastinators. Turn, please, to Acts chapter 24. They're always going to do it. Acts chapter 24. Verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Procrastination. Put it off. He heard the truth. He understood. He believed to the extent that he trembled. He was afraid. And yet, he procrastinated. He put it off. He wouldn't receive Christ at that moment. Why, there are hundreds of people like that across the country. They always intend someday. They do not intend to go to hell. They intend to go to heaven. They intend to get saved. They don't intend to be lost. They just haven't done it yet. I've told you before about the man up in Milton, Florida. I pastored a little old church up there. And this man was going into the hospital for an operation. His wife and daughter came to our church. And I'd talked to the man, but he didn't care anything about religion. And so on this specific night, I had been out visiting. I came in, it was about 9 or thereabouts. And I just, there was something about going to that hospital that I couldn't get out of my mind. And I got up at that late hour, went down the hospital, and had to get a guard to let me in. You couldn't just go in and leave at that time. After the visiting hour was over, they fastened the door. You couldn't go back in there. I had to get this fellow to let me in. I went into that man's room and talked to him about the Lord, and he told me specifically, no, that I've never gotten saved yet. I'm still not saved, and on. You know what I told that man? It was constantly somebody coming in there to do something. It was either a nurse coming in to change this, or it was somebody else coming in to give him a shot and make the preparation for the operation tomorrow. It was constantly somebody getting in the way of me talking to that man. But I somehow got the message across to him. I presented the fact that Christ died for his sins. He admitted that he knew that Jesus Christ died for his sins. He admitted that he believed that Jesus is the Son of God, and he believes the Bible and all these things, and believed in hell and all in all. But he said, I'm not going to hell. And I said, well, why don't you get saved? He said, I'm going to, but I'm not going to get saved right now. And his answer was that I believe, just as, and he told me that just as men in the past had woken out of their sleep and God saved them, I believe that when the time comes, God is going to, he's going to save me. He said, I don't know how he's going to do it, but it might be that he'll just wake me up in the middle of the night and save me. He said, it might be that I'll be out driving or anything, but God will save me when the time comes. And I said, now is the time. Read him the passage. Today is the day of salvation. Receive Christ right now. He said, not now. And I said, but you listen, you're going to that operating room in the morning. They're going to cut you open in there, and you have no guarantee you'll ever wake up. He just laughed. He said, of course I will. He said, God is not going to let me go to hell. God is going to save me. Or I receive Christ. No, he wouldn't do it. I left that hospital, went home the next morning. We were eating breakfast. The telephone rang. And you know something? When that telephone rang, I knew as well as I knew my name that that fellow dead. My wife answered the telephone. Sure enough, that fellow went in that operating room. They operated on him. And as far as I know, he ain't woke up yet. Well, he woke up all right, but his body never woke up. And as far as I have no absolute assurance that that man did not receive Jesus Christ as Savior after I left there that night. But I know this, if that man didn't receive Christ as his Savior, if he kept procrastinating and putting it off as he did while I was there, he's in hell right now. He's like that rich man in the Bible that died, was buried, and in hell lift up his eyes, being in torments, and crying for water and whatever. That's the condition of that man right now if he continued the way that he did while I was in that room. He procrastinated. He put it off. He refused to receive Christ at that time. He believed that Jesus died for his sins. He believed in hell. He believed in heaven. He believed the Bible. He believed he would go to hell if he didn't receive Christ, but he wouldn't receive him right then. He put it off. Maybe you're a procrastinator. Maybe you believe the gospel, but you've never received Christ, intending someday, somehow, that you're going to do it. There are those that are receivers. They are the children of God by faith. There are those that are procrastinators. They never receive, and they never think that they totally reject Christ, but to refuse to receive him is to reject him. You can't stand on middle ground. You feel like you're on middle ground. You feel like you're neither saved or lost. I've asked people, I say, do you believe that you deserve God to cast you into hell? Why, certainly not. Well, do you believe you go to heaven if you die? Well, no. Well, then where is the left? They're in a no man's land. They are procrastinators, and they believe they stand there, but they don't. If you are rejected, if you're not receiving Christ, you're rejecting him. If you are putting off receiving him, you're rejecting Christ. Not to receive him is to reject him. And then the third, the professors. Turn, please, Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1, verse 15, Titus 1:15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. They are professors, but not possessors. They are lost believers. They believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, and they profess salvation without possessing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They're just professors. Turn, please, to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. And by the way, this is would be one of the ways in their works they deny him. In other words, they love the pleasures of this life more than they love the Lord. They don't mind going to some sort of a sports show or whatever and sitting for hours in freezing cold to watch that sports show. But if they attend church once out of a blue moon and they sit there for 45 minutes or an hour, they are sick of it, they are angry, and they say there's a time and a place for everything, and on they go. They are professors and not possessors. They love the pleasures of the world more than the things of God. Anybody that possesses Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior has the Spirit of God in them. And those that have the Spirit of God in them have their eyes enlightened to see truth in the Word of God and have been given a love for the Word of God. I remember when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, they didn't have an assembly at the church where I was near there unless I was there. I don't mean they waited for me to get there to have an assembly. I mean when they opened that thing up, they could depend on it I'd be there. And that isn't all. I had a Bible that I read everywhere that I was in my home. I had a little New Testament that I carried to work with me. And all the time, if I wasn't working on the job, I was reading that little New Testament. I loved the things of God. And the sports were just nothing anymore. I didn't care about those things if those things interfered with the Word of God. They are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. It is absolutely amazing to me at the things that people will do. For instance, go out next year when the football season starts and go out when it's cold and everybody's got on, toboggans and woolen things over their heads and over their faces, and they're drawn up in a knot and whatever with all the clothing they can get on. And the quarterback takes the ball and rears back and throws a pass down the field, and the end catches that pass and goes for a touchdown, and they jump up and down and they yell and they scream and they carry on and just about fall down and whatever. Same bunch. They come to church, and if anybody says amen, they think the fellow's gone out of his mind. if somebody was to clap their hands in the church service or make a noise of any kind, they'd think, well, that fellow's some kind of a, well, what is he anyway? Some kind of a holy roller, that's what he is, and on. That's absolutely amazing. Now, you tell me why that is. Do you know why that is? I wonder if there's anybody in here that might happen to like that. I wonder if there's anybody in here that you might listen to certain kinds of music and you would feel a certain thing for that music and you might even clap your hands about it and enjoy it so much until you would tell, you'd say things about it. You might even break out and start singing with them or whatever. But in a church building, if somebody said, amen, hallelujah, you'd think there's something wrong with them. That's right. Suppose that while the preacher was preaching, there was something that somebody enjoyed, and they applauded and clapped their hands. Would you look around that place and say, I don't know what's wrong with them. In a church building? I mean, if you're going to whisper a prayer, you know. Well, folks, you just tell me what's wrong with getting inside of a building and expressing your love and expressing your happiness and your joy over receiving Christ as your Savior. What's wrong with doing that any more than anything would be wrong than expressing it over your happiness over something else? I'll tell you what it is. It's lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Verse 5, notice, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. They are professors and not possessors. They profess that they know God, and in works they deny him. And then the last thing, notice the rejectors, the receivers, the procrastinators, the professors, and then the rejectors. Turn, please, to John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, we'll start reading in verse 46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Christ rejecters, out and out. Now there is no difference in the procrastinator and the rejecter and the professor. They're all one and the same, but they're classified in their minds as different. In other words, the procrastinator believes he's going to get saved later on. He absolutely intends to. The professor believes that he is, although he believes he is because of his works. He believes that since he treats his neighbor right and goes to church regularly and prays regularly and tithes and so forth, that everything's all right with him. But the rejecter is the same as those, or rather they're the same as the rejecter, because not to receive Christ is rejecting. But notice the passage. The passage says, if you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Word of God is going to judge you. In other words, you cannot get around the fact that the Word of God said to you that Jesus Christ is the way. The Word of God said to you that Jesus Christ came and offered himself a sacrifice for many. You cannot get around the fact that the Word of God said that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture, and that the Spirit of God revealed to you that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, and that the Word of God says there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You can't get around the fact that those things have been preached to you, you have heard them, and you understood them, and those things are going to judge you when you come face to face with God. Reject the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word of God that proclaims the Lord Jesus Christ will be your judge in that day. The receivers, they've received Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they're children of God. The procrastinators, they believe the Bible, they believe in heaven, and they believe in hell. They want to go to heaven, they don't want to go to hell. Like a man told me in Birmingham some time ago, he said, yeah, I don't want to go, but I don't want to go right now. And so later I asked the man, I said, but if you died, where would you go? And he said, he'd go to hell. Later on, the man got saved. But there are those today who are procrastinators. They want to go to heaven. They want to be saved. They don't want to be saved right now. They don't want to go to hell. They fear hell. And then there are those that are professors. They profess that they know God, but they deny Him scripturally on every turn. And then, of course, the Christ-rejecting crowd that say, we won't no part with this man. They say, no, I'll not receive him. They're like the man in Mobile, Alabama, that the man was preaching there, and a fellow walked over and spoke to this man. He said, would you like to receive Jesus Christ, your Savior, and to that effect? And the man said, no. And he said, well, how about, would you like for me to just, how about, would you just come on, let me just show you in the Bible, so forth. And the man shrugged him off and said some words to him and turned right around and walked out the back door in the rescue mission onto Government Street, walked down Government Street to the railroad, tried to get on board a train down there moving through, fell on that thing to cut him in two. Somebody said, are you telling that to show that if that man would receive Jesus Christ as Savior, if they wouldn't have died? No, that ain't why I told that, but that is a fact. Now, you think about that. If that man that afternoon, that night there, if that man had said, well, yes, I'd like to know more about this. I'm not too sure about it yet, but I'd like to know more. Would you? Sure, I'd go somewhere with you and pray with you and, sure, show me about this. Well, you know what? While that fellow's running down that street and catching that train, he'd have been somewhere with that guy. Well, that guy's showing him some truth in the Bible. He might have died somewhere down the line. He wouldn't have died right then. That fellow's the author of his own death. He rejected Jesus Christ outwardly, bluntly, sarcastically, and he died. Say, did God kill him? No, I don't think God killed him. I think the man's he's instigated the whole thing. He ran out there, ran down, fell, and so on. Sure. Didn't have to be, though. He rejected Jesus Christ. Now, the words that were spoken of that fellow in that preaching service that time that caused him to reject Christ. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Something was said in there that caused him to reject Jesus Christ. In other words, If he's asked, will you receive Christ, and he says no, then he's been asked a question that causes him to reject. But that isn't all. There were things said in that service. He heard those things, knew what they were, and didn't want Jesus as his Savior, and rejected Jesus Christ. Therefore, the words preached unto him are going to judge him at the great white throne. And he's going to hear God say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. And the angels of God are going to take him and cast him into the lake of fire, and he'll burn forever. Christ, rejectors. Are you a rejecter? Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. How do you do that? For the fact is, for God gave his son now. He doesn't ask anything of you. Now listen to me. He doesn't ask you do anything. He doesn't ask anything from you. You don't have to get up, walk anywhere. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to kneel down. God did the work. He gave his son for you. Jesus died for you. Well, then what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing that Jesus Christ died for you, and that he was buried, and that he rose again, receive him. By faith, acknowledge him as your Savior. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How will they call on him in whom did not believe? How will they believe in him of whom not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? the preacher preaches, the sinner hears, he believes, believing, he calls upon the Lord, an acknowledgement, a reception of Christ. Receive him as your Savior. Not to receive him is to reject him. Are you listening to me? You in here that have never trusted Christ your Savior, you've been rejecting Jesus Christ. You aren't in any middle ground. Unless you receive Christ your Savior, you're going to die and go to hell. Are you listening? You're going to fall up into hell. It ain't going to go on. Somewhere down the line, it's going to be over with. Somewhere it's going to stop. And you can't hide all your life. Receive Jesus Christ your Savior. How do you receive him? Call upon him. Acknowledge him. Receive him, believing that he died for you. Why will you not do that? What you got against Jesus Christ? What is it you hate about the man who gave himself for your sins? There's got to be something. If there isn't, then why won't you receive him? You're going to go to hell. What's going to happen to you? You say, but I got some relatives that are telling me. You forget about what the relatives are telling you unless they're telling you that Christ died for you and that he'll save you and give you eternal life if you receive him. Receive him right now. Trust him right now. Accept him right now. Call upon him right now. But don't go out of this building without Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, well, I don't believe I'm going to die. Well, who does? That boy down in Daytona Beach, day before yesterday, never believed he was going to die. If he had, he wouldn't have crawled into that automobile. That fella slid down into that seat and strapped himself in there and put his helmet on and got out on that track at 190 miles an hour, lost control, banged into that wall, and instant death. You don't tell me he believed he was going to die when he got out there? Of course not. I don't know if the man was saved or not, but if a man was a Christ rejecter, if he was, I bet you could have walked up to him when he got in that car and said, hey, look here, I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. He said, go on, I haven't got time for that right now. Time and place for everything. Well, right then would have been the time and the place for it. You know why? Hey, he's fixing to get dead. He's going to die in just a few minutes out there. He's going to get killed shortly. That's the time. Say, but I'm not. How do you know you're not? What are you going to do? Sit in this building? You'll stay right where you are. You may have a heart attack. Building may fall in. Any number of things happen. If you get up and move, there's every possibility. If something's going to happen, there's every possibility that you're going to get killed. The odds are you're going to die. Receive Jesus Christ, your Savior. Not to receive him is to reject him, and to reject him is to imply you got something against him. What do you got against him? Would you bow with a prayer?